You know, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. You know, without Him, we can't do anything. And with Him, we can do everything. And so, my name is John Cook, and I'm from Stockport, Ohio. And my subject is the sound of God's love poured into our hearts. And I thought that I always knew God's love. And I got saved back in 1982, and my life totally changed. God came into my life and did a radical thing, and I experienced that love. And it wasn't long after that that things just started really changing in my life, to the place where I was not a good father. I was not a good husband to my first wife. I was just not a good person. I was very worldly and very self-centered, and it showed in everything that I did. And as a result of that, 18 months after I got saved, my wife found that she couldn't deal with me. And I tried to do everything I could to hold on to my marriage, but I had wrecked my marriage so badly during the 14 and a half years that I was married to her that I could understand. And she didn't really trust me, and she had a hard time dealing with the things that were going on and what God was doing in my life. And where I kind of laid back and just left her take care of everything in my home, now I felt that God wanted me to step up to the plate and to be the spiritual leader and the head of my home, and as a result of that, I started to take over. But I was a new Christian, and the way I took over was not in a Christian way. I came in and started to demand things, and this is the way it's going to be. And so anyway, things just kind of ended up, we ended up divorced as a result of that with three children. And I was really wanting to just go on and get my life right with God at that point. But God had other plans. And I told the Lord, I said, I just want to love you and serve you and raise my kids up so that they know you, and that's all I care about. And I want to know you. I want to know you even more. Because when God started working in me, He started putting a hunger in me for the things of God, and I was like a dry sponge. I just wanted to soak everything up. And I couldn't stay out of the Word. I couldn't stay out of, you know, every time I had the opportunity, I was listening to Christian speaking. I had several pastors and people that I listened to on the radio I just loved, and God was working. And I would see, as I was listening to them, all of their messages kind of lined up. Then we'd go to church, and the message at church, and I thought, wow, the pastor must have been listening to that, those pastors this morning or those ministers this morning on the radio, you know. But I didn't understand the things and how God moved by the Spirit and how He allowed everything to grow and to change. And so as a result of that, after I ended up divorced, 3 days after the divorce, God brought Lynn into my life. And when He brought Lynn into my life, I was a different person. And still trying to make things right, still trying to work things out, and still trying to serve the Lord. But at that time, I was still trying to do it my way. And didn't understand, you know, that God's way is not my way, that his plans and his ideas and his standards were much higher than mine. And so when He brought Lynn into my life, I was still in the process of transition. And I told Lynn, I said, well, you know, when I first met her, I said, I'm not looking for any relationship. I'm just looking for a friend. And 6 months later, we ended up getting married because God started showing me that what I needed was I needed her in my life, because I really met somebody who really knew the Lord Jesus Christ. She had a personal relationship with God that I envied, and she talked about Him like it was somebody that was real, a friend, a person, and I didn't know that. I still had the religious views of God. I went to church, and I did the things that looked good in church, But as far as being out of church, my life was a whole lot different. And so God was still beginning to work on me. And as I got to know Lynn, and as we came together and 6 months later ended up getting married, I really saw love in her for Jesus Christ and that I wanted. And I saw things in her that I needed. And when I told God I wasn't ready for that, the Lord told me, he says, I've brought what you prayed for. He says, what you have asked me for, he says, I have brought for you, and I've given her to you, and now it's up to you. What will you do? Decision time. And so my decision was, I'm going to receive what God has given me, and I'm going to go with that, and I'm going to be blessed with that. And we will be married 30 years come March, and now that 30 years, we're still on our honeymoon. Mentioned that the other day. And so, but something has happened over that period of time. And we had just an ideal relationship, everything going. We had a blended family, and in that blended family, you know, God was working, because we had a lot of things that went on in that family, as far as two different families coming together. And a lot of the old me was still there that God had to deal with. And God was working on that. But he was patient. And as his patience reflected in the things that he was doing in my life, he'd let me get to a place where I would run out of myself. And I would have to depend on him. And I got to a place where I finally had to depend on him for everything. And that's when I really began to realize how much he really loved me. Because his love is an everlasting, unfailing, unconditional love. And that love is reflected in everything and everything about us, everything around us. And I'm thankful for all that he's given us. I'm thankful for all that he's done. But most importantly, I'm thankful for who he is. And he is our God. And he is our Lord. And he's the lover of our souls. I want to read to you this morning. After I pray, I want to open up in prayer, because I want you to hear what God has to say, not what I have to say, because what I have to say is I'm just simply the mailman. I'm just the messenger, and he's the one who's bringing everything into fruition, and he's the one who's doing everything in our lives right now. And the more we come to know him, the more we come to depend upon him, then it's like John the Baptist says, I must decrease so he can increase. And I want the fullness of God. I don't want just part. I want the fullness of God. I want him so in control of my life that it's no longer me, but it's him living in me. And that's all that's important. And so I'm going to read to you after I pray here. I'm just going to ask the Lord that if he would come in and take over and take total control of this entire session. Because Heavenly Father, we need you. We need you more than we ever have needed you in our lives. Even though sometimes, Lord, we think that we're in control, you always show us that we're not. Our dependency is upon you, Lord Jesus. Our dependency is upon you, Holy Spirit, to lead us and guide us in wisdom and truth and righteousness, in power and in love. And Father, it's because of the love that you have for us that you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, that you have made a way for us to come back into a relationship with you through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's through that blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you wash us and that you cleanse us and that you make us right. It's through the Holy Spirit that you remind us of all the things that Jesus has done for us, that you teach us and that we grow and that we learn through the power of God, through your word and through your spirit. And so, Father, today, I pray that the eyes are open. I pray that the ears are open. And I pray that the hearts are open to receive all that you have. Let us see the truth of your word. Let us hear the voice of your spirit. And let us take this and receive it into our hearts, Lord, and be changed and transformed into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would bring glory and honor to you in every thought, in every word, in every deed. Father, speak through these lips today. Not that they be my words, but that they be your words. I'm just simply the mailman. I'm only bringing the message. Lord, it's your word. It's your writings. It's all that you are. Let it penetrate and go deep into our hearts, and let us be changed and transformed into the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' holy name. And all of God's sons and daughters said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. One of the passages of Scripture that I've always loved 1 John. And 1 John 4, 5 through 21, it says, these people belong to this world, so they speak from the world's viewpoint, and the world listens to them. But we belong to God. That is why those who know God listen to us. If they do not belong to God, they do not listen to us. This is how we know if someone has the spirit of truth or the spirit of deception. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us so much, that much that we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love has been brought to full expression through us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he is in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in him. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we are like Christ here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for the fear of judgment, and this shows that his love has not been perfected in us. We love each other as a result of his loving us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people, we can see, how can we love God whom we have not seen? And God himself has commanded that we must love not only him, but our Christian brothers and sisters too. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. How many times is love mentioned in there? You don't need to count them, but I will tell you, more than what we can imagine. And this is just one passage of Scripture out of 1 John. 1 John is a book on love. It is actually a book on love. We do a lot of counseling with people that come to our door that have problems, and usually it's marital problems, and it's couples with coming in and each one wanting their own way and each one trying to live their life and trying to get the other one to conform. And they come in, and we'll sit and listen to them for a little while. And after we listen to them for a little while, and we have to tell, okay, you be quiet. Let me listen to what this one has to say. And what I'm listening to is this is the way I am, and this is the way I want things to be, and this is the way I want her to be. And then she comes back, and she says, this is the way I am, this is the way I want things to be, and this is the way I want him to be. And there's no love there. There's no love there. It's all self-centered. And so the first thing I tell them to do after I get through listening to them for a little while, I say, okay, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to come back here next week. But in the meantime, I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to pray here now, and I want you to go home, and I want you to read 1 John, the whole book of 1 John. There's five chapters there. I want you to read a chapter. I want you to go through. I want you to read the book tonight or tomorrow, whatever time that you've got. But between now and the time we come back together, I want you to read that, and I want you to read the first five chapters. Then I want you to go, and I want you to read every chapter each day, one day for each 5 days, and I want you to read it three times. And I'm going to pray that God will give you understanding and wisdom out of those chapters, and then we're going to get back together again. Well, I can't tell you how many people don't show up at my door the second visit. Because why?
They don't know
God. And these are people that basically we've met in churches. And the reason is that they've not really come into a full expression of the love of God. And see, the love of God that comes into us is poured into our lives, into our hearts. But then what does God want us to do? He wants us to love each other because that's the expression of his love for us to each other. And out of that love, that's what changes our lives. That's where things begin to change. Now, I thought that I had things pretty much under control in that area. I love people, and I would I go out of my way to do things for people. And several years ago, I had the opportunity to have my mom come in and live with us. And God started to show me some things. He really worked on me. And I'm going to tell you, my mom was, she had Alzheimer's and beginning stages of it. And there was just a lot of things that were going on that I had been so busy in my own life working and doing things that I kind of let my brother take care of things. And in the process, I started finding things out and started realizing, and God started to show me things. And what it all came down to is God started to work on me and was doing a work in me. Show me who I really was and where I really was. And so we invited my mom to come to our house. And when we invited my mom to come to our house, it was supposed to be just for a couple weeks, and it ended up being for about a little more than 8 months. And I will tell you that as much as I love my wife and as much as she loves me, it was a real test. It was a real test of our love for each other. It was a real test of our love for God. And I didn't realize this at the time, but there was something that was going on that God was doing, and because there was so much that was happening in not just my mom's life, but I thought I had things pretty much under control, and I really found out that I didn't, and my dependency on God really grew greater and greater as time went on. And I'm going to just tell you a little bit about what happened. I'm not going to give you the whole story blow by blow, but I will tell you that there was a thing that was going on within my house that the enemy had come in through that disease of Alzheimer's. I was praying for my mom. I was praying for my family. I was praying that God was giving me the wisdom and the right decision to do what I believed that he wanted me to do. And I was praying. I was earnestly in prayer. And Lynn can tell you, I was up all hours of the night praying because I wanted one thing, and I wanted God to be glorified. I wanted my mom to really know Jesus Christ. She said she did, and she went to church, but yet there were a lot of things there that I questioned. And, you know, they say that you know the you know them by the fruit. And there was a lot of fruit that I didn't see. But I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge. So I just simply had to trust God and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do everything that you tell me to do. Well, the Lord started telling me to do things, and as he was telling me to do things and he was giving me direction, my whole family started to turn on me. And I had not one friend. Except for my children. My children were the only ones that really understood and knew what was going on. But my brother turned on me, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, they all basically turned on me because I believed I was doing what God wanted me to be doing. And so I prayed even more. And it even got to the place where Lynn and mine's relationship was heavily strained. And it was to a place where I said, okay, Lord, I can't do this. I really can't do this. And I don't know what you want to do here, but I can't. I am at the end of myself. And so, Lord, whatever you want to do, help me to accept that and to do, let your will be done in this whole situation. And he did. He did. Wasn't the way I had planned it to go, but my mom ended up leaving our home. She went back to Columbus, and within a year after she went back to Columbus, she passed away. But it was during the period of time that we had her that we watched God work in her life and do some things, and also do some things in our life, because I began to understand what love really was. And it's not when everything is going good. It's when things are not going good that you're still able to love. But what it is that you're able to love him. And because you're able to love him, and you put your faith in him, and you put your trust in him, that he shakes everything up, and he gets down to the bare metal, really. It's like, you know, everything is polished, everything looks good, and yet when God starts putting the grinder to it, he gets it down to where the bare metal is. And where he gets it down to the bare metal is what's really in our hearts. And he begins to show us things. And I found out that I didn't have the love in me that I thought I had in me. Because now I had everybody against me, and very few people that were for me. But God says that if he's for us, then who can be against us? And so I trusted in him, and I continued to trust in him. And I had to rebuild the relationship with my wife again, because a lot of things happened. My mom was trying to basically destroy our marriage. And it wasn't her, but it was the enemy working through her that was going on. And out of that, there were a lot of things that I had feelings toward my wife, and I loved her, but there were things that were in me that shouldn't be. And I questioned things. But God showed me that his love was there, and that her love was still there. But we just had to get that love put back together again, even better than it was. And that's where we are today. But in God's passage of Scripture, he took me, or as I was reading my word, he took me into a lot of places where he showed me things that I never saw before. And one of those things was out of Matthew. And it was in Matthew 5, verses 17 through 26, and it says, "Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come into the world to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to fulfill them. I assure you, until heaven and earth disappear, even the smallest detail of God's law will remain until its purpose is achieved. So if you break the smallest commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys the laws and teachings, then they will be great in the kingdom of heaven." Well, you know, what is the least of the commandments? Actually, the least of the commandments is the greatest of the commandments. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then to love each other. To love each other. And that was the greatest commandment. It says, "But I warn you, unless you obey God better than the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees do, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven at all. You have heard that the law of Moses says, 'Do not murder.' If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the high council. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you're standing before the altar of the temple, offering a sacrifice to God, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there beside the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Come to terms quickly with your enemy before it is too late, and you are dragged into court, handed over to an officer, and thrown into jail. I assure you that you won't be free again until you have paid the last penny." There's a lot in that passage of Scripture, but I'm going to point out to you here one thing, and this is the one thing that God showed me. It says, if you are standing before the altar in the temple, offering a sacrifice to God, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there besides the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Verses 23 and 24 of Matthew 5. Remember I said that there was a lot of anger, a lot of hostility, a lot of disagreement with what we had done to help my mom. And that was with my brother. And it was with my aunts and my uncles. And especially my one aunt and uncle. And I probably antagonized some of it. And as a result of that, I can understand their hurt feelings. But the morning that my mom passed away, we were all together in the room, my two aunts, my other aunt, my uncle, my mom's brother, and my brother. And they had called us there the night before, and we went over to my brother's house, and we sat and was there when my mom passed away. We basically literally watched her die and leave this life. And I went over, and I told my brother I was sorry. I went over and told my one aunt that I was sorry. And she accepted my apology. My other aunt, I told her, she accepted my apology. I went to my mom's brother and his wife, my aunt, and I told them that I was sorry for the way everything had gone. And they didn't accept my apology. And so I said, well, okay, God, I did what I was supposed to do. I went and I asked for forgiveness because what I was doing, I believed God was directing, and I wasn't. And I kept hearing, because they were not my aunt or not my brother, but my one aunt and uncle. They went to church and very religious people, and they were constantly beating me up with the word and using that word and telling me how I wasn't honoring my parents, how I wasn't honoring my mom, and I didn't believe it because I was listening to the Lord, and I was doing what He was telling me to do. And so, but as a result of that, there were a lot of hard feelings and a lot of broken relationships. So this went on for a period of about 3 years, and my mom passed away in 2010. And when she passed away in 2010, I basically had no contact with my family back there. I tried to get a hold of my one aunt who was being taken care of by my mom or by my brother, and it was the closest aunt that I had. My other aunt passed away about a little less than probably about a year after my mom passed away, and my one cousin, I went to the funeral, and my one cousin, her son, I talked to him, and he was the only one of my cousins that, and I have probably around about 8 cousins. He was the only one of my cousins that I could talk to and that we had any type of communication. My brother, my aunt, my other aunt, and uncle, and all of them, when I stepped in the funeral home, they all slipped out with my other aunt, who also had Alzheimer's, and I didn't even get to see her. And she was like a mom to me when I was growing up. Her and her husband were like a mom and a dad. And so that hurt me more than anything because I was cut off, and I couldn't even get a hold of her. Tried to call her a number of times. Every time I tried to call her, I talked to her one time on the phone, and that was because I could hear her in the background. And I said, let me talk to her. I just want to say hi. And that was over a period of 2 years. Finally got to the place where I just gave up because I thought, if I'm hurting them that much, I'm not going to put any more hurt upon them. And it wasn't until last year that my aunt passed away, and she passed away at the time of the conference last year. And this was the one aunt that I still had left that I really did care about, that was like a mom to me. And I would have really liked, my daughter called me up and the last evening, the Saturday night of the conference, and she told me, she said, Dad, I just want to let you know that Aunt Lou passed away. And she said, I just saw it in the paper, and I wanted to let you know about it. And I said, okay, I appreciate that. Well, I prayed about it, and I thought, okay, Lord, what do I do here? You know, we're the last day of the conference. We still have Nancy and everybody here yet. The showing's going to be Sunday, and I could slip out. I'm sure they'd all understand, and I could go, and I could see my aunt, who is no longer there. But my other aunt and my uncle and my brother and my cousins are still there. And so what do I do, Lord? What do I do? And all I could hear the Lord say was, just wait. Just wait. So I waited. I didn't want to cause any more grief in anybody else's life. And that's what I thought I was doing. And so I didn't make any comments. I didn't contact anybody. I told my daughter, I said, you go. I said, you go and you pay your respects to Aunt Lou and just tell them that I couldn't be there, that I had things going on here and I couldn't get away from this. And maybe if that's not a good enough excuse, then they'll just have to live with it. And really, that was my excuse. That was my excuse. So my daughter goes and... they treated her terribly. And she came back and she told me, she said, Dad, they wouldn't even acknowledge I was there. She says, my one cousin came up and did speak to her, but when she went to talk with them, they just basically brushed her off and just ignored her. They went over, they talked to my son, because my son goes to the same church basically that they go to. So they kind of had that religious relationship there, and so they did get along with him okay, but my other daughter, they kind of brushed her off also. Well, after my daughter called me up and she told me all about this, and see, she was helping me with my mom as well, and we took my mom back to her house, and my daughter went over and stayed with her for about two months, I think it was, And before things got so bad with my mom in her own home that my daughter finally called me up one night and said, Dad, I can't take this anymore. I have to leave. I can't jeopardize my two daughters here. And I said, I understand. And so that's how she ended up back at my mom or back at my brother's house. But what happened as a result of that, my daughter said, well, I'm going to go to the funeral tomorrow. And I couldn't go to the funeral on Monday. But my daughter says, well, I'm going to go to the funeral and just let things go the way they are. So she went to the funeral, and finally my aunt and my uncle came over to her. Well, my aunt did, came over to her and said, you know, I'm sorry that I treated you the way that I treated you yesterday. that's not a Christian way to do, and we're really family, so I just want to say I'm sorry. My daughter calls me up and she says, Dad, she said, Aunt Annette said that she was sorry about the way she treated me. I said, well, how was everybody else? She said, well, your brother was pretty good. He wanted to know how you were and everything. And he really, he's lost a lot of weight. He really looks a whole lot different. And I said, well, that's great. I said, well, I said, I'll have to get a hold of him sometime. Well, this was in October. Thanksgiving was coming up, and God was really dealing with me because I was the one that had caused them to have something against me. And see, this passage of Scripture that I read to you earlier, if someone is having something against you, now it's time for you to go and reconcile to them. So, I didn't think that they'd accept a phone call from me, but I did have their addresses, and I went and I got Thanksgiving cards, and I mailed one to my brother, and I mailed one to my aunt and my uncle, and in there I told them how much I loved them and how much I was sorry for the way things had gone, but that I hoped and prayed that we could still be a family and that we would be able to experience and share God's love. Well, my brother sent me a Christmas card, and I thought that was great because that's the first communication I'd had with him in over 4 years. And And so anyway, my aunt and my uncle, I never heard from them. And to this day, I still have not heard from my aunt and my uncle. They had a family reunion this last summer, and my one cousin that was putting the reunion together, this the one that I had talked with, and he invited me to come. And he said, I'd like for you to come, you and Lynn, to come to the family reunion we're having at my house. And I said, Tim, I said, I want to run something past you real quick. I said, told him what had happened and how everything was. And I said, my brother and I, our relationship is back on the mend. I said, I've not seen him, but I've talked to him on the phone. He called me, wished me happy birthday in January. I called him and wished him a happy birthday and sang happy birthday to him on the phone for his birthday in May. And so we said we're going to get together and just meet sometime and just get together and talk about things. And I said, but things are at least cordial between the two of us. But I said, not so with the rest of the family. I said, so before I would go and come and make everybody's time miserable because I'm there, I said, why don't you ask them and tell them, you know, because I've already contacted them and told them I was sorry. I said, ask them how they would feel about me being there. And he said, well, I don't think it's going to bother anybody. I said, well, you know, check with them. And I said, and get back with me and let me know. So he called me back about 3 days later. And he said, I hate to admit it, but you're right. He said, there is still a lot of hostility toward you and a lot of unforgiveness toward you. And I told my cousin Tim, I said, I want to let you know, I said, I pray for them all the time. And I pray that God would soften their hearts. I said, because I don't want them to miss heaven. I said, I don't want unforgiveness to keep them from getting into heaven. And I said, so would you pray with them and pray for me and pray for them together? And I said that that God would be able to reconcile things between us. And I said, I'm doing everything I can on this end. I said, maybe they need to hear from somebody. And I said, and take them to the passages of Scripture that I'm giving you here. And so anyway, I gave him some passages of Scripture, basically the ones I'm sharing with you today. And told him, I said, I'll be praying for them. And I said, and possibly we'll be able to get together sometime here in the future. See, my uncle has a bad heart. And he's been having medical and health issues for quite a while. And I really believe that a lot of his illness and a lot of his sickness is because of the unforgiveness that's in his heart. My aunt has also been having some medical issues, and I believe that that is also a result of that. So see, it's not just the fact that if we have something against someone, it's if we allow that thing to continue to grow in us, then it causes health problems with ourselves. And so we have to basically make amends and make things right and forgive one another. Another passage of Scripture that God showed me was out of John 15, 1 through 17. And I'm not going to go through it, but Nancy hit on it here just before we got back here. And I'm thinking, you know, there she is again. She's preaching my message, you know. And I'm sure none of you have ever experienced that, you know. But Jesus said, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned for great fruitfulness by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. And that passage of Scripture, when God was dealing with me on all this, I said, okay, Lord, I mean, you know, you've been pruning me here. You've been really working on me, and you're cutting away everything. But I'm going to tell you what, you're getting down to the nub. And I said, it's getting a little painful here now. But Lord, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do. And see, the reason I'm bringing all this up is because where I thought everything was great before all this started to happen. And I didn't have any trouble loving people. Lynn can tell you I love everybody, and I still love everybody. But as a result of everything that was going on, God really got away and stripped me of everything that was of me. Everything. And the love that I had that was in me was not the same love that he had that is in him. And so what I got down to was the bare metal. And when I got down to the bare metal, I realized that I didn't have the love that I really thought I had for people and for God. And God started to show me, and I got to this place where I thought, see, the enemy will use this, and he'll work on you. And Nancy brought it up. You know, he works on the mind. You know, the battlefield is in the mind. And got to the place where the enemy was trying to tell me, you know, well, look, God doesn't love you anymore. You've done and gone as far as you could go, and all these things, you know, you've walked away from it. You've committed the unpardonable sin. And so trying to get me to buy into a lie. And but you know what? God says that his love is everlasting love, and his mercy is new every day. And because his love is an everlasting love, and his love is an unconditional love, and it's new every day, I rely on his mercy and on his grace. And because of that, I know that I'm loved. And now the love that I have for my wife, for my family, for my friends, for all of those, is a love that that is only from God. You know, in the Lord's Prayer it says, "Our Father who art in heaven," I'm going to read to you. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. Give us our food for today, which is Jesus, the bread of life. And forgive us of our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, to our own sinful desires, because when we yield to the temptation to, hey, I'm done with that, out of sight, out of mind, I don't have to deal with them, you know what, that is partnering with Satan, because then we're not dealing with things the way they really are, and we're basically having unforgiveness still in our hearts towards someone. And that unforgiveness is just as hard on us as it is on them. And that unforgiveness will also keep us out of heaven. Because if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you of your sins. That's verse 14 out of Matthew 6. So see, God was still dealing with me when it came down to all this. And he was still trying to show me what was really inside of me. What really came about in the closing part of this is also out of Matthew 18, and it's verses 21 through 35, and it says, "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, Jesus replied, 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so the king ordered that his wife and his children and everything he had be sold to pay the debt." You know, if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, we basically, without a relationship with Christ and being the spiritual head of our homes, then our relationship flows down into our wife and into our family, our children. And so if our relationship is not right, then our family, our children, our spouse, our children are going to suffer as a result of where our relationship is not where it should be. And so that's what that means, that they would suffer as well. It says, "So he couldn't pay the king. His debtors So he couldn't pay the king. But the man fell down before the king and begged him, "Oh, sir, be patient with me, and I will pay it all." Then the king was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. Isn't that what Jesus Christ has done for us? When we come and we confess Christ and we ask him for forgiveness, he forgives us and he cancels our debt. It says, "But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him $1,000. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. 'Be patient and I will pay it,' he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and jailed until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were upset. They went to the king and told him what had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had had mercy on you?' Then the king was angry, sent the man to prison until he had paid every penny." Now this is Jesus' words. He says, "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters in the heart, in your heart." See, we do Bible studies in our home, and we just recently did a Bible study in our home, and actually the Bible study got so big we had to move out of our home. We had to go over to the place where my wife works and use their meeting room. And it was a Bible study. It was on From Spiritual Slavery to Spiritual Sonship by Jack Frost. It is a video teaching. It's a book out by the same name. And I highly recommend the book. I will tell you that if you get the book, it's a life-changing book. Because as I read the book, part of the book a couple years ago. Lynn read the book to me, finished reading it to me. And I said, "Boy, we're going to have to do that study." And God just kept holding off until finally this last year. And finally he released us to do that study. And we did a study by John Bevere on the Holy Spirit prior to that. And that was so eye-opening and heart-opening that I said, I believe we need to do the next one, which is the one from Jack Frost. And as I prayed about it, the Lord said yes. We did that study, and in that study, Jack Frost talked about his own personal testimony and gave what God had done in his life. And it basically was all about receiving God's love and giving it away. And that's what forgiveness is. When we receive God's love and we give it away, that's exactly what it is and what we need to be doing. You know, the Lord took me to another passage of Scripture. Actually, it was when Nancy had told me about, doing the workshop here. Because all this has been taking place and going on for quite a while, and God's been working on me on this and getting us to where he wants us to be. And forgiveness is receiving God's love. We receive his forgiveness. Not only do we receive it, but then we give it away by forgiving those around us and having that relationship right. And I will tell you, if there's anything, and you know, I went on and I thought, hey, I can live if these people don't want anything to do with me. If that's what their desire is, then I'll just stay out of their lives and I'll just honor their wishes. That's not what it's all about, because God started working on me, that as he worked on me, then I realized that he was working on them. So there were several times when God had really been putting on my heart to go and get things right with my ex-wife. This last summer, we had our oldest granddaughter had gotten married. For about the last year, the Lord had been impressing on me to go and apologize to her and ask her for forgiveness. And I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it up until this year. This last summer, God put us all together at the same table And when he put us there at the same table, I had been praying. I said, okay, Lord, I will move when you give me the right word and you give me the opportunity to do this, because I just don't want to do it because I'm doing it. I want it to be received. And so I'd been praying about it, and I said, Lord, the next time that you give me the opportunity, if that's the right time, then I will do what you say to do. And that's exactly what he did. We sat down at the table, and I looked at Lynn, and I told Lynn, I said, would you mind if I go over and talk to Jane? And Lynn knew what I needed to do, and she said, go right ahead. And I went over, and I sat down, and I told her, I said, hey, I just want to tell you something. I need to ask you for forgiveness. I said, I treated you badly during the time of our marriage. I said, I was not a good husband. I said, I was a terrible father. And I said, I did not honor you. And I'm asking you to forgive me. And she looked at me and she said, yeah, okay. No problem. But you know what? It's the first time that she spoke to me, because every time we'd have a get-together, a family get-together, and she would be invited, she would not even acknowledge me, and definitely would not acknowledge Lynn. And I just felt that I need her forgiveness, but she needs to be set free. And she's only going to get set free if I go and ask her to forgive me. And so that's exactly what I did. And the first time that I had seen her smile in all the years that we have been still coming together for family functions, and she'd be there. And so after I did that, remember how you felt when you first got saved? That's how I felt. I felt fresh. I felt new. I felt like this heaviness had been lifted off of me. And I was so thankful, because I knew that that was what God wanted. And I knew that he was the one who made the way for that to happen. And so as a result of that, I went and made reconciliation with my brother, made reconciliation with my former wife. Now God's having me make reconciliation with some other people in my life. And I'm ready. I'm ready to do what God's called me to do. And one of the things I have to do, and I've already done this with half of my children, I've asked them to forgive me for the things that I've done to them and not being the father that I should have been. And I've still got three more yet to get to. The one, her and I have, she was one that had really given us the hardest way to go of all of our kids. And after Lynn and I got married, and it really was a job. And God started doing work on us, because we had two daughters. Lynn had a daughter, I had a daughter. And when they would come to our door, we would each get knots in our stomach, because we knew that what they were bringing into our house was not what we wanted. It was chaos, and it was definitely not a good situation. So we had to ask God, both of us. We got on our knees. She did separately from me. I didn't even know she did it, and she didn't know that I had done it. But we had asked God to help us to love our own kids, because we were to the place where we couldn't even love them. There was nothing left in us to love them. And the only way we could love them was with the love of God. And so we needed his love in order to be able to love our own children. And those two today, things are turning around. We keep praying for our children all the time. And the one has turned around, and where she had no interest in the things of God, we just recently bought her a Bible, because she's been talking to her mom, and she's been asking her mom about things, and her mom's been sharing God's word with her and giving her truth and praying with her. And don't ever give up on your kids. Don't ever give up on your kids. And our other daughter, God's been working on them, been working on her, and I get phone calls every once in a while, and my daughter knows when things are really not right, and or when there's problems that are going on, that she knows where to call. Her last phone call from me, or for me, was a couple weeks ago. Actually, it's been about, 5 weeks ago now, I think. And she witnessed an actual gentleman on the road that was hit by a car, and the people jumped out of the car and took off, and the guy died on the scene. And this was all in front of her, and she happened to see it, and we were having Bible study that night, and I know when my kids call, and they know when we have Bible study on Tuesday night and we have church on Thursday night. I know when they call us on those particular times that it's something really of great urgency. And so the Bible study, we were done. We were just fellowshipping, and my cell phone rang, and I looked, and I saw it was my daughter. And she was crying because she had just seen this earlier in the day. And she said, "Daddy, what can I do?" She said, "Every time I close my eyes, I see this man laying under this car, a bloody mess." She said, "They took a sheet and they threw it over top of him, but they couldn't remove the car because the car was hung up on another car and on a fence, a wrought iron fence." And she says, "And while the police officer was there taking the report from me," she said, "I had to look at this." She says, "And the whole time I was looking at this, all I could think of was that this could be one of my kids. This could have been my husband. This could have been somebody I love, somebody I care about." And she says, "I can't stop thinking that this man, he was in his 30s and was married. What his wife's going through right now, what his children are going through right now, because of somebody's recklessness." And that's basically what it was. She said, "But Dad, I don't know what to do to get this out of my vision." And I said, "Heidi," I said, "let me pray with you." I said, "Because God just opened your eyes to see something that you had to see." I said, "And maybe he'll use this to bring you into a deeper relationship with him." I said, "An appreciation more of life, because she's working all the time. She's, running here and running there. And she's like I used to be. And in being that way, and not very much time for your family, but caught up in your own personal things. And that's where she's at right now." And so I told her, I said, "Let me pray with you." And so I prayed with her. And God took it away. God took it away. But he left the one thing. And the one thing is this: that now she looks at life a whole lot differently. And she sees how quickly life can come to an end, and where we need to be, and the things that are most valuable and most precious to us are the things that God has given us. And so now she has a deeper appreciation for her husband, for her children, and for those around her. And I told her, I said, she said, they just bought a house. And she says, this is the first year that she'd been married for, how long is it, 21 years, I think she said. And this is her first Thanksgiving. And she said, "Dad," she says, "this is the first time I'm preparing a turkey in my own home to have for Thanksgiving." And she says, "I really would like to have you and Lynn come." And she said, "Mom will be there, and her sister will be there, her other sister." And I said, "Well," I said, "you know your brother." I said, "we'll have to check on things and see how things go. But I said, I'll get back with you, and I'll let you know about it." And so God is working. He's working on our families. He's working on our lives. He's working in our lives. And all of this is the love of God. I'm going to leave you with two closing things here. And it's the sound of God's love that's poured into our hearts. And these two things is when And I've got it here on my notes. I was just trying to find it. And it's, if you need the scripture passage, I'll give it to you. But when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and just before he died, and just after he said it was finished, he asked the Lord, he asked his Father to forgive those that had hung him there. And that forgiveness is the same forgiveness that he instills upon us. Now, how do I know that? Because if you go into the book of Acts, Stephen, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, when he was being stoned, I believe it's in chapter 7, when Stephen was before the high council, and he was able to give his testimony of Christ and who Christ was in his life. And as he gave his testimony, and he was basically just reading the scriptures to the high council, and they were listening until he got to the place when he said, "I see heaven opening, and I see the Son of Man standing next to the Father." They couldn't stand that. They picked up stones to stone him, and they stoned him. But his last and dying words were this: "Father, Lord Jesus, don't hold this against them. Forgive them." See how important forgiveness is. And that's the sound of love that's being poured into our hearts. The sound of forgiveness. The sound of us asking God to forgive those that have done us wrong. And for us going and asking God to forgive us for the wrongs that we've done to others. So, as God pours his love into our hearts, let us take that love and let's not cast it aside, but let it change us, that we will grow in a deeper, more intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior. See, since all of this has been taking place, God has taken me into that deeper, intimate relationship with him that I've sought for so many years and didn't, was just like at the point of maybe getting it, but I wasn't getting it. I just wasn't grasping it. And when I started asking the Lord, you know, what is going on here? And how come I'm not feeling anything more in this relationship than what I'm feeling? And I want more out of this relationship. I want to go deeper. I want a greater relationship with you. I want to know you like Paul knew you. I want to know you like Moses knew you. I want to know you like Peter knew you. And God kept taking me back, and he says, each one of those humbled themselves before me and realized that they needed to forgive. And that forgiveness is the key to going into that deeper relationship and going into that greater love that no man has than to lay down his life for his friends. And that's the love that Jesus has for us. So, with that, thank you for coming to the workshop. We're going to pray for you shortly here.